Well, praise God, everybody. Great to be in the house of God. I feel the presence of the Lord today. Always good. There is no greater thing that I enjoy than having the opportunity to get with God's people. We want to do something before we launch into this particular message, and you don't have what it takes. But we've entitled this, You Can't Handle It. And I have a volunteer that's coming. And they're supposed to be on their way. And we selected a mom because some other people were embarrassed to come on the platform. So preacher's kids normally are willing to do anything, either by choice or duress. And so I've asked her to get on this treadmill because life can be very challenging even if you don't have anything going on. But we have a tendency to do a lot of different things and to find ourselves carrying a lot of baggage. And so if we're going to be on the treadmill of life, we probably need some water because we need to be hydrated. We need to make sure that we quench that physical thirst, so she needs to be able to hold that, and we're going to see how well she can manage life. Well, once you drink something, then you're hungry. So we need to make sure we get her a snack. And so we'll just give her one snack. I don't know. We'll see how this works, see if she can handle this all. And so life can be very challenging. We'll leave a couple here for her. But being a mom, you have more things that you have to do. And so you can't forget about the laundry because there is laundry to do. So we have to make sure she navigates that. She can handle it, I think. Do you think you can handle it? Moms, do you navigate and juggle a lot of things? Well, not only that, but we need to put something else on her hands because she's got to take kids to gym class and football practice. And so she can manage this, I hope. And still in the midst of life, we're going to figure out how all of this works. She'll figure out a way because moms always figure out how to handle life. Is that right? Well, there are other things, so let's bring her something else because in the midst of all of that, you know, she has notes that she has to take and places she needs to be and things that she needs to remember. This mom's a little smarter than the average mom because she's navigating this pretty well. So let's do that. But well, there's other things. We have a child that forgot to pick up its gym clothes, and now we've got to run to school as well as being on the treadmill, needing to be hydrated. She needs a snack. She's got a file. She's got laundry to do. Now she's got something else to do. And we can't forget that she's got to bake cookies for brownies after school. So she's trying to navigate all of that. So now we've got to do brownies. You need to keep walking, please. So we have more things for her to do also because, you know, she wants to journal her day so that her great-grandkids can know that life in 2019 was not boring. And so got to keep a calendar close to you or you'll forget where you're supposed to be next, what she's supposed to do tomorrow. So I'm going to put that in there. All right. And in the midst of it all, she needs to take a little time probably to go shopping. She's struggling, you know, when you try to balance everything in life, it can be a great challenge. And not that anybody's going to help, but let's just put that in there. So she needs to go shopping, so somewhere she's got, all right, no, we're going to go shopping. And we have to make sure, oh my, somebody sent her flowers. No, look in my direction. So somewhere she's got to write a thank you note. So she's trying to juggle that. Remember, she's got all this stuff to do. And now we've got the kids we've got to play with because, you know, they want your time also. This is a smiley little kid who's already had her hair done and makeup done. So somehow we've got to take care of the kids. Hopefully she can juggle all of that. And then she took off this morning and forgot her purse, okay? Well, the important things are in her purse. Her cell phone is in her purse. Don't leave home without it. Her credit cards, her passport, everything else is in there. I do have her cell phone. I think I'm just going to check and see who she's been speaking with. but I don't have the password. So we'll put that in there, and let's see if we can juggle that. You got room for anything else? Let's put that there. And after all of that is said and done, you know, at some point in our life, we need to just journal some things and maybe read some things that are going to be an encouragement to us. And so this is kind of a daily devotional. Hopefully she'll have time for that. But it seems like she's got a lot going on. I don't know how much longer she can handle everything. And, you know, usually the kids get dropped at some point because they're always going to be around and they're always going to be pulling on your life. Well, here's her keys. If she doesn't get her keys, she's not going anywhere. Where do you want your keys at? You got another finger. All right. So how many of you would say she's navigating life fairly well? Okay, but we're not done yet because there are always more things that a mom has to do. And so somewhere we don't even have, there it is right there. You know, at some point in life, you have to get in the Word of God, which sometimes is not always a priority. Well, we've dropping files and kids are dropping, snacks are gone. Have you got any room for the Bible and church? And we'll just kind of add it on top of everything else. And that's kind of the way we navigate life in our culture. All right? Would you give it up for Rachel today? Thank you so much. And many times that's the way that our life looks. And the truth is we can't handle it all. And it becomes a great challenge to try to juggle everything in our life. And trying to do more than what you're able and capable of doing, you cause yourself to be rushed. You may even have the mentality that you have enough time, but you end up being late to everything because of everything that you're trying to juggle. Have you ever been to the grocery store and you analyze each line to figure out which line's going to be the quickest to make your way through? Or maybe you're in a hurry. I don't know about you, but I don't like slow people on the highway. They're an aggravation to me. I'm in a hurry. I have a lot to do. And they seem to be gawking on a Monday. It's not Sunday. I call them Sunday drivers. Maybe that doesn't bother you, but it aggravates me. And sometimes we are so busy that we find ourselves out of it. First of all, we find ourselves out of shape physically because we don't have the time to work out. And maybe your idea of a healthy lunch with the family is a Big Mac, large fries, and then we get a Diet Coke to justify the calories that are in the Big Mac. And I've seen many families come through, drive up through Hardee's or McDonald's, and that's their family time. And so we limit the things that are really supposed to be priorities in our life because we're trying to juggle everything else. The second thing is this, we become out of sorts emotionally because when we're pressed and when we're overwhelmed and we're trying to handle more than what we're capable of handling or supposed to handle, all of a sudden we would go, I would have a breakdown, but I don't have time. I don't think God intended for us to be overworked, overstressed, and so full of anxiety that we can't navigate life and enjoy life. And then we become out of touch relationally because we don't have time for other relationships or we don't have time to invest in other people because we have so much going on. And we may love people, but we just don't have a lot of time left for them so that when we are with them, we are geographically within their location, but we're not there. We've checked out. We're already making a list in our mind of what demands are being placed upon us for the rest of the day or even for tomorrow. When that happens, then we become out of order spiritually. It's not that we don't love God. It's not that we're bad people. It's just that we sometimes get our priorities mismanaged, and we feel like we have a relationship with God. We just don't seem to have time for Him. There's a new study that came out that declares in America, 50% of the people that claim to be Christians only attend church once or less per month. That's so sad. But that's the culture that we live in. And we are so busy with other things that we feel like we can manage everything, and we probably are not managing all of those things very well. And so our kids are involved in activities, we've got commitments with school, and the school system is not concerned about your priorities. The school system is concerned about absolutely having your child involved in everything that it can be involved in, until that child doesn't have time, sometimes for even family time, because they're too busy involved in other projects and other things. And then when football season comes around, I can't do that. I've got a yard to mow on top of that. Always remember, you can tell much about a man or a woman and how they mow their grass. Don't ever want you to forget that. It is a tragedy when I have to call my grandson and go, could you mow for me this week, because I don't have the time. Because that's one of the greatest joys in life that I have. You say, Pastor, you seem awful passionate about that. Because it's one of the very few things I can do in an hour and a half and have absolute and total control on how it turns out and complete it and finish it, and it's done exactly the way I want it done. Some of you are borderline so busy that you won't let anybody else help you because they wouldn't do it right. And you will not take the time to train them and show them how to do it because you've already made up your mind. You can handle it. You can deal with it. You are Superwoman. You are Superman. But the problem is, all of a sudden you're faced with kryptonite. And somewhere kryptonite sneaks in and everything comes unraveled and you feel like your life is coming apart at the seams. And then we discover and we make statements about the Word of God that we probably don't understand. We make statements like, well, you know, the Bible says that God will not put on us more than we can bear. Did you know that's not even scripture? I do have a scripture for you out of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. It may be that you've taken that scripture and done something with it, but Paul writes and says, there is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. But nowhere in the Bible does it ever say that God will not put more on you than you can bear. That's contrary to the Word and contrary to His character. There are times that He allows things to come upon you that are overwhelming that you don't think you can bear, so that your dependence will be upon Him and other people that are around you that want to help you. Sometimes you can be overwhelmed. Sometimes you can feel like you're carrying weights that are just simply more than what you can accomplish or deal with. But I don't really believe it's the will of God for us to be overwhelmed, overburdened, and stressed out. What our culture says is normal living, I think, in the eyes of God, He would label insane, unbiblical, wrong, dangerous, and maybe sinful. Because the kingdom of God is all about relationships. And if we're not careful as the church, we will be so influenced by the world that we begin to take on the characteristics that they have placed upon us and feel that it is normal. It is not normal to work 18 hours a day and be so busy that you have no time for yourself, no time for the presence of God, no time to get in His peace and feel the power of God. When is the last time in your unique walk with God that you absolutely felt the power of God in your daily walk? Because I believe that's what God intends for us to enjoy so that we can affect other people's life. I don't know that I have the faith that everybody listening to this word will make a change, but I do have the faith and believe that somebody will hear this, make some adjustments. Their life will be better off for it, and their influence and their impact for people around them will shift and change drastically. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28 is a very strategic scripture. Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." Are you weary today? Are you burdened today? I believe that God intends for us to take our weariness and be refreshed in Him. I believe He invites us to take our burdens and to cast them upon Him. Look at verse 29. He says, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." Jesus was never pressured. He was never in a hurry. He was passionate. He was strategic. When he received news that Lazarus, a friend of his, a place where he spent time in his home with Mary and Martha, when he heard that Lazarus had died, he waited for 3 days. He wasn't going to be pressured. Sometimes we are pressured by insignificant things, and we feel like we have to take care of it. Because of our lack of confidence and security in God, or just because we're a control freak. Now, I have learned this to the point where I have conquered it for a couple of reasons. I'm a controller, or I have some issues with that. In fact, my issues are so bad, they kicked me out of class Wednesday night. And I'm learning to have to navigate that. The more responsibilities that you have to learn to cast all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. Do you intellectually know and believe that God is able to take care of your life and every issue in your life? That's horrible. Three people. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is able to handle every situation, every dilemma, every toxic relationship, every struggle, everything you try to mandate on yourself, is He big enough to handle that? If you're not sure about that, He has the power to forgive you of your sins in one moment when you ask Him to. He has the ability to intrude into your life and to help you in ways that we could all chart historically and know that He has touched our life. But somehow we get sucked back into this culture and we think busyness is the key to success, and we begin to take more things upon ourselves than we can handle. And so Jesus invites us to bring our burdens and those things that we are wearied about to Him. Because if I am in a situation and I'm doing something that's just called rest, if I'm not being productive, if I'm not being fruitful, some of us get anxious. Some of you have anxiety on you now because there are things out of your control. And yet the greatest weapon that you have is being able to rest in Jesus and cast your care upon Him, knowing that He will take care of the things that you commit to His keeping and His ability. But we're so inundated with so many things. He said, "Take my yoke upon you." Then He says in verse 30, "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." If you've lived in this area very long, you know that a yoke is something that brings two animals together, normally oxen, cattle, to accomplish a goal. And you say, how in the world could I be yoked together with Jesus? Here's what He wants you to do. He wants you to believe. He wants you to exercise your faith. He wants you to be involved and work. But you can't take the burden of making everything happen upon yourself. He wants us to believe, and He pulls the plow. And when we find that place of rest, it is so enormous that we have the ability to accomplish so much more than when we're trying to accomplish it ourselves. And so He says, "I will give you rest for your soul." We live in a culture today that does not respect what the Bible calls Sabbath or rest. They don't respect it. It started years ago. There are people in this sanctuary that worked shifts that I don't know how you did it. They were working 12-hour shifts from 6 at night till 6 in the morning. 3 days on, 4 days off, 4 days on, 3 days off. How can you have a life? I believe it is the intention of hell to create so much chaos in our culture that we eliminate God, who is the source of our strength and the source of our peace. So how do we navigate in this culture when we are mandated by certain elements to be at a certain place at a certain time? We have to learn to take our weariness and our burdens and cast it upon Him, because He cares for us. And that is sometimes a difficult component to embrace. But I'm telling you, He cares more about you and your children and your family and your destiny and what you're doing in life than you do, because He paid the ultimate price that no one else in your circle of love would ever pay. And somebody who makes that kind of price and has that kind of power and rose from the dead, I'm going to trust. And so in the middle of trying to navigate all of that, He said, I'll give you rest for your soul. How many times has your emotions been out of control? Because you have too much and you can't handle it all. And then we need a stress reliever and we go after the people that are the closest to us. Or your will, making certain decisions, your intellect, your ability to receive information. And when we become weary, we start attaching ourselves to information that's not going to be helpful for us. Or your memory, your imagination. When you come to that place where you can't handle everything and your priorities are out of alignment, and our culture today is out of alignment in its priorities. We are so divisive in every part of our society that everything is upside down. Hello? And people are making statements that are bold-faced lies that we have the ability to go, that's not true, that's truth. But we live in a culture where people are not seeking out the truth for themselves, so they believe what they hear, and if they're told long enough, they'll believe anything. And so in the midst of that, we have to be willing to say, I don't have it all together. God, I need you. And we're in a culture today where our soul is sick. And it's contaminated because we're trying to carry everything, because the people down the street, they're driving a Mercedes and a Corvette. They have got a camper. They have got a boat on the lake. They have got everything. And yet, I don't see them going to church on Sunday. I don't see them. It looks like their kids are doing well. At some point in life, if your priorities are out of alignment, it's going to catch you. So we have too many things to do. So what do we do? Number one, some things need to be shared. You can't do everything. I normally take a few hours, and I hate dust bunnies. Dust bunnies are demonic. They hide from you, and when there's a breath of air, they navigate some other direction. They hide under sofas in crevices that can't be reached. They'll navigate their way behind a refrigerator that's too heavy to move. They'll find their way everywhere. You say, why do you do that? Because my wife takes care of our daughter 24/7. And I'm going to do my best to share some responsibilities. Now, some marriages are not created that way. Some men don't take out the garbage, they don't do the dishes, they don't run the sweeper because it's not in their job description. Well, you need to just take a look and say, what can I do to share responsibilities? When our kids were younger and they were home, as all children are, you give them a responsibility, and of course they're pointing the finger and go, why isn't that one doing something? Why isn't this one doing something? So on Wednesday nights, we'd go home, and with six kids, we just made them all jump in, and if they would work for 30 minutes, that's 3 hours worth of work, we could accomplish a lot. So we have to share responsibilities. And children that say, washing the dishes is not my responsibility, I'll probably get you a job as a dishwasher. So some things need to be shared. You don't need to feel like you have the burden of carrying everything yourself. In the book of Exodus chapter 18 and verse 17, the children of Israel had come out of Egypt, God had done miracles. He had provided for them. They're coming into the promised land. They're making their journey from their bondage into a place that God has promised. And Moses is trying to take upon himself the burden of counseling everyone. Now remember, there's almost 3 million people. Let's just say there are 800,000 families. He is trying to do everything himself in terms of counsel and godly direction. And his father-in-law comes to him in verse 17 and says, "This is not good," Moses' father-in-law exclaimed. He says in verse 18, "You're going to wear yourself out. And the people too. This job is too heavy a burden for you to handle all by yourself. You have to begin to share the responsibilities." Everything that is growing, businesses, churches, ministries, families that are successful, learn how to share responsibilities. They learn how to navigate that and help with that. It's not a sin to ask for help unless you're a perfectionist and you feel like you have to do everything. Now, I've heard this statement more than once. If I let somebody else do it, it won't be done right. Now, it may get done, and it may not get done the way you want it to get done, but it will get done. Who am I talking to? See, I had to navigate that because some of you are aware that straight lines in my yard are fairly critical to me. I don't have time. Anybody that mows grass and they're all over the place, that's just a signal to me about their life, whether it's true or not. And so training my children to mow a straight line, and then you can become so overwhelmed, you make this statement: "I don't care how you mow it. Mow it in circles, triangles. I don't care. Mow it in a, what is a, give me a geometric term. A what? Yeah, mow it in an oblique triangle. I don't care. Just get it mowed because I've got so much on my plate." There comes a point in life where you can accomplish much more when you begin to share things. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, Paul brings this right into the reality of us as believers. He said, "Share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ." The King James says we need to bear one another's burdens, then we fulfill the law of Christ. Do you know what the law of Christ is? The law of Christ is the law of exchange. Jesus took our sin and he gave us freedom. He took our sickness, he gave us health. He took our burden, he gives us strength. He takes our weakness, he gives us power. Come on, somebody. That's the law of Christ. And so when we share one another's burdens, we are fulfilling what Jesus showed us on Calvary and as he walked among men. And so there are times we need to allow people to share what we're doing. Number two, some things you may just need to stop. In Luke chapter 10, verse 41, it could be, is it possible that you're trying to do too much? But the Lord said to her, "My dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about." And if you begin to read that, we're going to discover that she chose in that moment the better thing. Have you become so busy in your life taking care of and handling so many issues that now you don't have time to be in the presence of Jesus? In the day that we live, I am grateful that you're in the house of God. I'm grateful that you're watching this morning. Maybe you fed your mom breakfast in bed and she's watching, and I'll wave to all those moms that are sitting at the cafe in the restaurant and got up too late or got up too early strategically. So, and that's great. But what about your daily walk? Because to survive in the day that we're living, just to come on Sunday to church, you're not going to make it. Because something will come against your life. Something unexpected, something may overwhelm you, and a relationship with Jesus is the best thing that you can have. There's only one thing to be concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her. Mary was very upset because Martha was in the kitchen going about all of the necessities of preparing a lunch. And in that moment, Mary wanted to be in the presence of Jesus, and Martha got upset. Now, in every church, you need Marthas and Marys, but sometimes there is a moment where we need to get in the presence of Jesus. And sometimes we don't because we don't know what to say, but we do know what to tweet, and we do know what to Facebook, and we do know what to message, and we do know what to text, and we do know what to say when we don't like something. You can't handle it all. Jesus wants to help you. That's why Psalms 46 and verse 10 says, "Be still and know that I am God." Stillness and quietness sometimes is uncomfortable because our minds race. The number of people that have come to me this week and said, "I have a hard time sleeping because I can't turn my brain off." It's in the presence of the Lord that there is fullness of joy. The prophet said, "In quietness and confidence shall be your strength." There is a time to worship God. There is a time to praise Him. The wise man Solomon said, there's a time to dance, there's a time to embrace, there's a time to refrain from embracing, there's a time to do all of these things, and there is a time to be still before God because it will cleanse your heart. And the presence of God has the ability to wash your soul as you cast your care upon Him. I just got news this morning of a pastor, and he's dealing with some issues, and my heart is grieved about what happened. But I can't run there and take care of it. I would like to. And you don't want to know what I would like to do. But I have confidence in Jesus that He knows every detail. He knows how to handle it. And He has given me the weapon called prayer. And when the prayer of a righteous man, it avails much. The Amplified says dynamic and it's working. Our ability to pray, to communicate with Jesus, to release these things into His concern are critical. Martha is working. She has to have everything just right. She's worried. Mary, in that moment, chose the better thing in that moment. What would you do? How would you fill in the blank if you were asked this? I would do more of this if I just had time. What is your fill in the blank? What would you do if you thought you had more time? Because all of us have 24 hours in a day, 7 days in a week, 168 hours in a week. How do you manage that? How do you navigate that? You say, well, if I only had more time, I'd get involved in a life group, but I don't have time. If I only had time, I would serve at church, but I never know when I'm going to be there because of the things I have to do. If I just had time, I would journal, but by the time I get home, I'm too tired that I fall asleep with my Bible on my chest after I've written, and God said, ever had that moment? I would help with some kids. I'd get involved in this if I just had the time. But the challenge is this. You make the choice. You have time to do what you choose you have time for. We make the decisions as to what is important in our life. When people tell me they don't have time to read the Bible, but they do have time to do what they choose to do. I don't have time to go to church, but we do make time to do what we choose to do. I don't have time to get in the presence of God every day because I'm too busy. But you do make the choice to do what you choose to do every day. Sometimes we are finding that Christian people are being attacked spiritually by a sick culture who has set their priorities incorrectly. And so they find themselves struggling instead of choosing what is better. Let me ask you today, what do your actions communicate to others that you value? What do your actions communicate to others that you value? Now, I've had this conversation with my kids multiple times. And when we were first in ministry and all the kids were at home, how many of you know that children will not only challenge you emotionally, spiritually, but economically? Because they go through this age where they're outgrowing everything. So school starts and you buy them a new size 18 tennis shoe, and by the time the season's over, they've grown some more and they need a 20. So it can be challenging. But Deborah was always adamant that we would get out of here a week a year. Now, the downside was we pretty much went to the same place. And so Branson became a very, very well-known place for them. But even though we may not have gone on a cruise, which is great, if you can, that's great. But when you have seven kids, do you know what a motel room would cost for seven children? Because they won't let all of them in one room, so you have to find a hotel that has rooms with doors in them. Then you have to figure out that day which kids are going to work out with which kids, which children are exercising a level of maturity so that in the middle of the night, somebody doesn't get in a fight or sneaks out the door. Are you hearing me today? But one of my children told me, said, Dad, we may have gone similar places, but we created memories. We'd always look for different places to go eat. I remember that in West Branson, there's a Taco Bell, and they were having like 10 tacos for $2. This was a couple years ago. Well, I had Jonathan and Aaron. And so we would walk in and buy like 40 to 50 tacos, and they would just stare at us. But they didn't understand what those boys were able to consume. And then there were days in our house where you might have got a cheeseburger, but you had to split it with your sister or brother. But in the midst of all of it, we created memories. One year, we made the decision that we were not going to work our life to the point where we had no time. We rented a pontoon boat, which had a very large motor on the back of it, and the kids wanted to ride in this big, large, oversized inner tube. If I recall, Pastor Liz was in the center of it, and I made the mistake of hitting the accelerator, thinking that the inner tube would go up. Well, the inner tube went down under the water, came up. I wished I had a movie of that because the expression on her face was priceless. And so it's those kind of things that you build memories and make memories of because you're not going to allow everything in your life to be pressed. We were in Hawkins, Texas, just outside of Dallas. We decided to go to church on a Sunday night, and those kids can tell you now what song they sang, the fact they clapped on the wrong beat. But it's moments like that. I don't remember what was preached. I don't remember what was said, but we remember what song they sang, that I would not hurt you today or dismantle your faith by trying to sing it. And so we're pressured in some ways. Our culture communicates by their actions what's important to them. Possessions, things, success, and the things that have great importance, God, country, your family, a relationship with Jesus, are not seen in our culture to the degree that it was years ago. We have shifted. We continue to go down this road of demoralization while the church seems to be getting sucked along with it. So we're navigating the best that we can to facilitate people's values when in reality we need to blow the trumpet strong and long and say, listen, our values are communicated through our priorities and what we do and where we serve and how we act and the time we spend with our family and the time we give into the kingdom of God. Just because we have the ability to give our children more activities does not mean it's better for their soul. I played ball in high school. There's still a hole in the ground out there where Moose Hollenbeck put his cleats through my helmet and split my glasses. It was at that moment that I began to re-examine my decisions. There's great things to help your children be nurtured in the kingdom of God. I don't worry when my family looks weird. I worry when my family and my kids and my grandkids start looking like everybody else. Because we're not in this world. We are foreigners and we're strangers. And we're here to make a difference, to change our culture. Number three, everything needs to be surrendered. We need to take everything in our life and surrender it to God and say, God, what do you want us to be involved in? What do you want us to do? How do you want us to manage our life? I wish that when I was in high school, they would have had Fellowship of Christian Athletes. What a great program for our young people to be involved in and to make a difference. So some things need to be shared, some things need to be stopped, everything needs to be surrendered. David said in Psalm 62 and verse 1, he said, truly my soul finds rest in God, my salvation comes from him. True rest in your soul comes from your relationship with Jesus. Being able to do what he desires for you to do. You have value. God has placed something within you that is unique perhaps from anyone else. And your ability to tap into that and see God reward you, that's where you will find rest. That's where you will find strength. When you connect with the God that created everything, that deposited within you the uniqueness of who you are, it's very quiet in this house because this is not a very popular message, because I will tell you that American Christianity is looking less and less like biblical Christianity. It's straying ever further. I was told the other day, I went to a home to pray through it because of some things that were taking place there that were demonic. And now we have come to a point in our culture where those things are not demonic. They're just some little chihuahua spirit. Really? I only know two spirits. There's the Holy Spirit, and then there are demonic spirits. And by the time that we got there to pray through there, this has only happened to us twice, whatever it was totally gone, and we had an incredible move of the presence of God. But then I listen to Christian leaders who want to disengage from what the enemy is trying to do, and that does not help us move forward. Can I just tell you, the devil's out to eat our lunch, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Nothing is too hard for God. Nothing is impossible to him that believes. You are blessed and not cursed. And the adamancy of which God brought salvation to us and the sacrifice that he brought enables me and strengthens me. I don't have time to be lukewarm anymore. I don't have time to be less passionate about the kingdom and being more passionate about other things in life, because everything in this life is going to pass away. But Jesus Christ will always be the ruler and the reigning king forever and ever, and that's where our trust is, and that's where our confidence is. And I'm inviting you today to examine your life. Are there some things you need to share? Are there some things you need to stop? And let's surrender everything to his kingdom, because you have the key that will unlock the door of greatness to somebody's heart and somebody's life. If you've ever been touched by the presence and the power of God, if you know the reality of the blood of Jesus, if you've ever laid your hand on a fevered brow of your child and watch God touch them, if God has ever delivered you out of destruction, if he's ever touched your life and helped your brain, if he's ever given you strength over an addiction, I'm telling you, he is real today. He is awesome today. He is more powerful than anything. And I believe that God is reaching into the church and saying, this is about to be your best hour. Make sure your priorities are right. Make sure that you are sharing and partnering in ministry. Make sure you're allowing me to handle the issues that are carrying and burdening you down and causing you to be weary. And there may be some things you just need to stop. and surrender it all. Say, God, I can't do this without you. But with you, I know I can do all things. Nothing will be too hard. Psalm 55, verse 22, cast your cares on the Lord. How many of you know there's a lot that we can care about? If you love people, if you have children, you care about their future, you care about their well-being. One of the greatest issues in Deborah's life and mine is our daughter, Faith. I'm not looking for sympathy. I'm just telling you it's one of the cares that we have. She's 28 years old. I'm going to be 67. I'm believing that Jesus is going to come before this has to be dealt with. But how many of you know that if you have a challenged child, you begin to think about who's going to take care of her if I'm gone? Maybe you have issues in your life and you wonder, if something happens to me, how will these kids carry on? Who will instruct them? Who will nurture them in the things of God? And so I have to take that and I have to cast it on the altar before Jesus because I can't carry that. I can't navigate that. I can't deal with it. It's overwhelming. It will wreck me emotionally. What is it in your life that has the potential to wreck you emotionally that you worry about and you're fearful about and it hasn't happened, but it is the vulnerability of your life that the enemy takes advantage of to try to position you into a place where you're paralyzed? Whatever that is, cast your care on the Lord and He will sustain you. That means you will stand in the storm. You will stand when everything looks like it's in chaos. He will never let the righteous be shaken. We will walk with the strength of God. Paul said, when I'm weak, I'm strong. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. Making those declarations in a moment of vulnerability. I called one of my friends one day and I said, let me ask you a question. He said, sure. I said, I wouldn't trade my wife for $1 million, but she can put me on 7th floor in 10 minutes. He said, you've got a good relationship. Bam! Thank you. Just wanted to make sure I wasn't losing my mind. I needed to get back in touch with reality. Because in our culture and in our Christian culture, people get on television and you would think that there were no problems, that there were no difficulties. A good friend of mine hosted TBN and I loved what he did one night. He came out introducing, are you ready to praise the Lord? And here and all around the world, said, just want you to know my wife and I have been in a big fight before we came out and we've got ourselves made up. And I went, thank God for some reality. Because we have impressions out there and young girls are looking at Photoshop pictures of models and thinks that's reality. But they get pimples like everybody else. So we have to navigate through life with the challenges that we have, with the temptations that we have, and saying, God, I just want to do what you want me to do. Don't let me be overwhelmed. Come on, let me know how to share certain things. Are there things I need to stop? And I'm going to surrender it all.